Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Warren, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Jason. Thanks for having me.
Now, I think that you live in one of the biggest glass-enclosed areas of the government. People are always looking at you guys. So I usually start out asking someone about the mission of their agency, of their organization. But I think it's pretty clear about the Recovery, Accountability, Transparency Board's mission. So I'm going to start with the next question I usually go to, which is, as this Chief Information Officer, how do you support the Recovery Board's mission?
By law, CIOs are responsible for strategic planning for all information and information technology management functions. That mission includes many responsibilities in implementing and operating technologies that better enable the Recovery Board to conduct its accountability mission by coordinating and conducting oversight of recovery funds to prevent fraud, waste, and abuse. Now, Jason, that's the canned answer. But what really happens here in terms of how I support the mission is I tend to focus much of my energy on creating an entrepreneurial environment in which my team of professionals is empowered to operate without fear, generate ideas, and make decisions. From my experience, this approach is not well utilized across the government, and it has been a game changer for the board.
Very interesting. You talked a little bit about the law, what you do by law in terms of a CIO's role, Clinger Cohen, and some of those things. But you also talked more kind of generally about what seems to be your experience coming into the Recovery Board, coming into the government, or your experience in government throughout your career. Talk a little bit about how you foster that kind of innovation, because that's, as you said, it's a very hard thing to do in government.
Focus most of my energy on creating an entrepreneurial environment in which my team of professionals is empowered to operate without fear, generate ideas, and make decisions. And from my experience, this approach is not well utilized across the federal government space, but it's been a game changer for the board.
Talk a little bit about how it's been a game changer.
You know, the old government mentality, I hate to say it, you know, it tends to stifle innovation and creativity when you look at the old supervisory constructs and models. I see my team more as a round table of talented entrepreneurs. And, you know, my philosophy is to allow all ideas to enter the center of the table for discussion. And the old model tends to stifle that discussion and sort of hamper innovation. As a CIO, it's up to me to set the tone and make sure those creative ideas reach the center of the table.
Can you give us an example of maybe one or two ideas that came from maybe the staff and kind of has worked its way up to being a real positive influence on the Recovery Board?
If you look at federalreporting.gov, for instance, it's a very complicated system that requires a series of individuals to basically lock themselves in a room and throw ideas, just crazy ideas, out on the table. And with that creative thinking, some of those crazy ideas we were able to actually implement and transform into new and innovative technologies to build a collection system in record time.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I know that you've never really had that type of collection system before, and now obviously it's working well. I mean, I hear very few complaints about the ability to input data into the system.
That's right.
Let's discuss your office. You talked a lot about your staff. How many employees do you have? Is it mostly federal employees, or do you have some contractors? What's your IT budget? Give us some perspective.
Okay, well, on organization, my immediate office is appropriately titled the Information Technology Division. And believe it or not, Jason, it's comprised of only six federal managers. The office includes our Deputy Chief Information Officer, Sean Kingsbury, our Chief Information Security Officer, Vita Sims, and Chief Technology Officer, Paul Naroth. Kathleen Druitt is our Information System Manager of federalreporting.gov, and Jimmy Jones is our Information System Manager for recovery.gov. Additionally, my office receives exceptional senior executive support from Director Michael Wood, and last but not least, our chairman, the Honorable Earl Devaney.
Now, obviously, those are the federal workers. You also have contractors working with you to provide additional support?
We do. Actually, we don't have contractors working at our headquarters location, but we do have a technology portfolio that utilizes a service-based approach. If you look at federalreporting.gov and recovery.gov, both are operated by contracting firms with substantial numbers of contract employees, which ultimately follow under our oversight and supervision.
You guys set this up very quickly, and it wasn't a matter of, okay, let's hire 15, 20, 30 feds, but at the same time, you probably knew that you can also bring in, you had to have enough management to oversee some of the contract that you figured would be coming.
Well, that's right. And one of the premises in which we operate is to keep a very lean and tight, very talented management team at the top. And as I mentioned, there's only six of us that oversee literally hundreds of contractors. So it's a model that served us quite well. And the bottom line is I'm absolutely honored and humbled to work every day with such an amazing dream team. It's just a phenomenal team of individuals.
Real quick, your IT budget, because I want to get back to the management of contractors, but I want to just real quick, your IT budget's about what?
We're looking at about $20.7 million in FY10 for principally three areas. Those are website design, content management, and data collection and storage. Other expenses are associated with our Recovery Operations Center, which you may know is part of our accountability mission, and performance and value management of other IT resources.
Let me ask you about the management of the contractors. Now, you said that you have about six federal managers. You're really overseeing a number of different contracts, a number of different functions done by contractors. What challenges do you have doing that? Because six people does not sound like a lot of people. And you guys, again, you're in the glass bowl. You're in the fishbowl. People are watching what you guys are doing. How do you make that work?
It's not without pain, and a lot of pain. We work very long hours, and having a lean model like we do, it makes the organization very agile. We're able to respond very quickly and elicit efficiency and just maximize decisions against our portfolio. Stated simply, we're able to make decisions very quickly and make good decisions without having to run through series of committees and get caught up in the traditional bureaucracy. So our lean approach is actually very effective. And, you know, after we get below, say, the federal management construct we have in place, we do have points of contact at our contractors that our COTARs internally work very closely with. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the utility model, but we basically have the utility model for our major portfolio items here at the board.
Give our listeners a quick sense of what that utility model really means.
Well, it's kind of like electricity. If you look at, you know, say you're a home consumer of electricity, you know, you're a home consumer, you pay your electric bill and electricity is pulled into your house. We sort of utilize to the extent practicable the same mentality here at the board. The board's mission is not, you know, to run server farms and massive collections of computing infrastructure. Our mission is to deliver rich content out to the American public through recovery.gov and also, you know, investigate fraud, waste, and abuse on the accountability side. So to the extent practicable, as I said, you know, we try to purchase computing services externally and manage them here from the board or provide oversight from the board. And we do that through that very small team I just mentioned.
That's fascinating. I think that's a model that a lot of agencies would like to go to. I just think it's a lot easier said than done for, as you said, the well-established big bureaucracies to move in that direction.
Right, right. Well, you may recall earlier in sort of the opening salvo there, one of the principles we operate under here is we try to operate without fear and allow ideas and to foster. And that was one of the ideas we had early on, is just to basically utilize a service-based approach, because we didn't think we'd be successful standing up a new organization and also building four, you know, information systems by pulling resources in-house. We knew that the best path to success at the lowest risk would be to use the service model.
Let me ask you about your job, because you mentioned standing up these four information areas. You guys have been around for 12, 15 months. I mean, it's really when you started, it was an incubator, it was a startup, and now are you guys moving more into that O&M stage, or you seem to still have, in many ways, that startup mentality of innovation, move quickly, be agile?
The high-performance team I have in place now, and they'll probably get me later, but it's really a collection of overachieving type A's, and when I say that, I mean it. These guys are entrepreneurial, and they're unstoppable forces of nature, and they continue to want to drive transparency and accountability. But I can tell you, you know, Section 1512 of the Recovery Act, which is titled Reports on the Use of Funds, required a monumental effort to design, construct, and implement a nationwide information system which is capable of delivering data for posting on recovery.gov by October 30th of 2009, as you well know. Now, last year, the board constructed and implemented a complex technology portfolio that included four information systems, and I'll go ahead and describe those out for you. Recovery.gov, federalreporting.gov, the Recovery Operations Center, and our general support system. Now, the challenge here during that time was my team and I became accustomed to working 24/7 for nearly 6 months. And now that we are in the operations and maintenance phase, we are focused on quality and business optimization. So, Jason, hopefully the nights and days of sleeping in offices are behind us.
I hope so for you and all your
staff. Right.
Never fun. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what the future does hold for you guys in terms of priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Warren, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Warren, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jim, before break, we talked a lot about your role as the CIO with the Recovery Board, how you support the mission, kind of the setup of your office, some of the challenges maybe you face in the short term. Well, let's start with some of your priorities over the next 6 or 9 months. What do you hope to get done? What are you really looking out to do? Because obviously, you guys, as we talked about, you're moving out of that startup phase and into the operational maintenance phase.
To assist the board in maintaining and delivering rich information to the American public, my division's tactical goals are primarily focused on improving data quality on recovery spending by providing the public with accurate, transparent, and user-friendly information. Additionally, my team and I are continuously reviewing our mission and adjusting as necessary to deliver enabling technologies to support other functions, including our accountability mission and its underlying technology, the Recovery Operations Center.
You mentioned a couple of keywords there, data quality, technology as an enabler. Do you foresee some of new technologies that you can discuss publicly coming, you know, to bear over the next 6 or 9 months that, you know, you're going to help the mission areas do their mission with this technology?
Well, there's a series of adjustments we're making, primarily focused on improving, as I mentioned earlier, data quality and the delivery mechanisms, if you will, to get that rich content out to the American public. But we have a couple of other teams here at the board. One is our data team, and they do a phenomenal job of producing algorithms and other business intelligence products to allow us to arrive at better data quality. And my role in that equation is to simply implement technologies to support those algorithms and provide products that can support the business intelligence needs, all with underlying purpose of, again, providing user-friendly content out to the American public and quality content.
And obviously the accountability mission is another mission area. Without getting into too much details, can you talk about your support of their work?
All right, well, the accountability mission is down the hallway, and it's separate and apart from the transparency mission, as you know. But as a CIO, my team provides the underlying infrastructure and technology support for that mission, but doesn't necessarily carry out the role of the mission. So we provide infrastructure, computing hardware, and software, and things you might expect a CIO would provide, but we don't actually perform the mission.
Right, right. The mission is, as you mentioned, totally separate. You're more horizontal than vertical when it comes to the mission areas.
Yes, we are definitely matrixed across every piece because technology plays a very important role here at the board.
Well, and speaking of technology, you guys recently moved recovery.gov to the cloud. Cloud computing is a big push across this administration and really gaining some momentum. Discuss your role in making that change happen, and we'll get into some more of the benefits around cloud and where do you see cloud taking you guys in the future.
After performing a formal feasibility study to confirm our assessment that a migration to the cloud would provide both substantial tangible and intangible benefits, the decision to make the move was all but trivial. It's important to note that our decision to migrate was completely rooted in business optimization. In fact, Jason, it wasn't until after the migration that we learned we were the first government-wide information system to successfully migrate to the public cloud environment, which was a major milestone for the government. Now, if I may for a second, you may have, talking about the benefits, you may have read our chairman's corner on recovery.gov or the board's press release in which the benefits of migrating to a cloud infrastructure were detailed. First, we expect to save approximately $750,000 over the next 18 months with even more savings expected to follow. The board intends to repurpose more than a million in computer equipment to the accountability mission, which will strengthen our recovery operations center that I discussed earlier by allowing for increased tracking of stimulus dollars. Furthermore, the move to the cloud environment has freed up board staff resources, allowing us to focus more on improving and displaying richer content on recovery.gov. And finally, the cloud model provides efficiency for operating the website, allowing rapid expansion or contraction of resources on an as-needed basis and ensuring availability and a high-quality experience for our users. Now, as far as challenge, time and resource management were our two largest obstacles in migrating to the public cloud infrastructure. Given the technical approach we used and the contingency options at hand, my team and I were quite confident that our migration to the cloud would be a very low-risk move.
I think one of the interesting things about you guys moving to the cloud is the fact that you guys already were so public, and the data, the information, the communication is all part of that public reach out. So going to the cloud, I think it made perfect sense for you guys in so many ways.
You're right, Jason. And in fact, we did a feasibility study, and it just the benefits far outweighed the risks. In fact, it was very, very, very low risk. And the fact that we are a very public site and we receive a lot of press and very visible, we are the perfect candidate for leading the charge to the cloud.
Now, as you said, you're the first government-wide system really to move to the cloud. Have you gotten a lot of attention beyond from people like me, the press, but from other agencies who have come to you and said, hey, how'd you do it? Take us through the feasibility study. What was the reaction been from other agencies?
The minute the federal chief information officer made that announcement and the press releases hit, I had several agencies contacting me. I'm not going to name which ones, but maybe let them talk about it. But we are currently in the process of providing guidance and materials, artifacts, and lessons learned to several other organizations. So, yes, we have been contacted by numerous government organizations.
And speaking of those lessons learned, that was my next question, actually. Can you maybe go over two or three of them that you really say, okay, here's what we did this time. Maybe if we would do this again differently, here's maybe something we tweak or change a little bit. Is there anything that you can pass as a best practice, a lessons learned?
I got to tell you, from a lessons learned perspective, I'm not sure we had any negative lessons. The move was well orchestrated. We had a contingency options along the way, like we had a COOP site in place, and the official date for our migration to the cloud was actually far sooner than what was publicized, because we had flipped back and forth between the COOP site, exercising it to make sure that when we went to full production in the production site, that recovery.gov would stay alive. And we did that transition numerous times back and forth between COOP and production, and quite frankly, no one in the world knew. So we had nothing but a very pleasurable experience in making the migration.
We went through some of the challenges. Was there anything specific now that you've been on the cloud that you're seeing that has really kind of stood out to you? Either, okay, here's something that we'll have to deal with in the future, or, hey, well, that was much easier, that we something that surprised you?
Well, not really. I mean, there are some benefits that we knew we would gain that I'm looking at now, like the elasticity, for instance. The performance in the cloud has just been phenomenal, and the elasticity of our provider is just it's phenomenal. But what I do not have a firm grasp of yet is performance management of a contractor that utilizes a cloud model. Because we are first out there, these methodologies and techniques for providing the performance management simply don't exist, at least to my knowledge. I mean, there are some loose frameworks, but I have not seen anything concrete enough that we could actually use it. To give you an example, if you look like a security control evaluation, for instance, using the special publication 853A by NIST, how do you really use that in a cloud environment? Do we rely on the service provider to perform security for us? So we're still trying to put our arms around some of the security components and how we would perform security oversight. Even though the contract covers that well, and we are FISMA compliant, and we do have an authority to operate, we're continuing to optimize the business, and we just want to make sure that we're getting value management and performance management, and we also want to implement good security practices.
One of the things that I think a lot of agencies are wrestling with around the cloud are both service level agreements and as well as the pay by the drink, or you can grow it and shrink it as needed. Mm-hmm. How are you guys dealing with that? Do you pay by how much you use? Are you paying a set fee? Can you just give us kind of an idea of how the contract works without getting into, obviously, the sensitivities?
Well, we actually contract with Smartronics for recovery.gov. And Smartronics has a contract with Amazon for service. So from that respect, and that's where I talk about the challenges, how do you oversight a contractor's sub when utilizing a model that's on the tip of the spear? We don't have direct access in practice here at the board to Amazon because they are a sub of Smartronics, although we have right to audit, and we can certainly go look at controls and, exercise within the constraints of the contract, certain powers. It's there's some challenges there we just simply haven't figured out yet.
But as far as like service level agreements and stuff like that, that's all been worked out. As you said, you have the right to audit. There's other issues, or that all is done through Smartronics, so you just told them, hey, we need XYZ, and you get it done the way you get it done.
Our contract with Smartronics defines the SLAs, and those SLAs have to be met, obviously, or exceeded, no matter what Smartronics implements. And Smartronics did not make the move, as you know, in a vacuum, because we do oversight them and have performance management here, which covers Smartronics. A lot of work was done to make sure that when Smartronics actually exercised that move of recovery.gov to the cloud, that their SLAs would still be met. And their plan, the work breakdown structure, et cetera, was reviewed by the board and approved. And now it's up to Smartronics to hold their service provider accountable for performance.
Okay, that's fascinating. I think it's a great lessons learned. It's a great analysis for other people who are looking at the cloud and trying to go to it with similar public sites. Well, you bring up Smartronics. Let me just jump there. I know that this is an issue the board has talked about several times, the contract to build recovery.gov. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you specifically about the contract because I think we've talked about it enough in the media over the last year or so. But talk a little bit about the website itself, recovery.gov. How's it performed? What are some of the next functions you're adding? Give us kind of the status check.
Future enhancements include increased board outreach to citizens through in-house videos that we'll speak directly to and answer questions from the American public. The board also is developing a blog that will provide a forum for interactive discussion. And the board has already signed up with Flickr, allowing citizens to upload recovery-related project photos to use with their personal recovery stories. It's actually live on the site now. Additionally, we are exploring new widgets so states and other organizations can harvest specific pieces of our data and post it on their own recovery websites. And finally, we are planning to add a section, Recovery in Action. That section will provide civics lessons to the American public on how government works. Phenomenal future ahead for recovery.gov.
I think it's a very interesting idea to kind of connect it to Flickr so people can say, okay, well, here's the site that, you know, here's where the money went, and here's where the before, and here's the after, and here's the difference it made.
Right. Oh, definitely. And as you can see, we're trying to increase our board to citizen outreach.
Okay, we're going to have to take another break, but this has been fascinating. We've learned a lot about you guys and the work in the clouds, but we've got more to come. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Warren, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer.
Data is exploding in growth, usage, and retention. Count on it, and count on Vion to manage your organization through that change. Vion's file service solutions allow you to manage all platforms with an integrated management approach. This enables you to consolidate, protect, search, and archive unstructured data. With powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion will help you regain control of your IT environment. To learn more about Vion's file services, visit Vion.com. That's Vion.com. When it comes to your company's disaster recovery, business continuity, and virtualization plans, ask the experts. Vion Corporation. With a 29-year track record in assured computing, Vion puts customer needs first as a hardware and systems integrator. With a team of dedicated engineers and powerful technology partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion's customers know their data is protected, secure, and recoverable. Visit Vion.com to learn more about high-performance network-attached storage and content archiving. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Jim Warren, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jim, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities. We talked a lot about cloud computing and the benefits you guys are hopeful to receive and where you're going with it. One of the things that's always fascinated me about the Recovery Board and the mission of it is the goal is openness and transparency. Put the data out there. Let people respond. And that probably puts a lot of challenges on your plate as the CIO because you have to make that work. Talk a little bit about how does this idea of openness, transparency, and being on the cutting edge of that effort really affect the way you do your job? What kind of challenges does it bring, even opportunities?
I certainly understand the long-lasting impact our work has on transparency and the future design of government information systems. Given this, the members of my team, they take their roles very seriously, and I mean very seriously. It's my job to foster a culture in which this high-performance team can exercise entrepreneurialism to resolve problems like we did when we constructed federalreporting.gov or developed recovery.gov in record time. As far as opportunities, my team focuses on identifying opportunities, and we hope our lessons learned, methods, and solutions can be leveraged across the government. A great example is our discussion earlier of the cloud. We are being contacted by numerous organizations on cloud computing and just how our technologies can be leveraged and what artifacts we can share and, you know, techniques we can provide, et cetera. So I'm very, very, very excited that we are sort of on the tip of the spear because it provides us a great opportunity to share, and that's what I believe federal agencies should be doing more of.
What's been fascinating from my perspective as a journalist and kind of watching this happen is the idea that, okay, here you guys had a short amount of time, get these websites up, get data in, and you showed that, okay, this can be done and can be done very well. And even with the, if you will, mistakes, the potholes that happen with, you know, the congressional districts that don't exist, for instance, even with those problems, still there's, you know, those are small problems compared to the number of things that actually went right. I think that there's a lot of now people looking at it, okay, well, if we could do it this way, why can't we do this for all procurement data, or why can't we do it for all data on contract, on grants? And I think that's where you guys are really making the biggest impact. Are you seeing that from your perspective as well?
Well, not at this juncture. I think probably because we are so new, if you will. But I'm sure the downstream effects of our hard work are gonna be felt and ripple across government for quite some time. And some of those stories remain to be seen for sure. But fairly positive, given the verbal interaction I'm having with a number of senior stakeholders at the moment. I'm fairly positive our work will have those positive influences.
Well, I know that there's a lot of concern in industry about whether or not this approach to bringing data in is going to be required for all government contracting data. And I think in many ways, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. I mean, if it's showing it can be done, you know, there's no reason why it can't be done for a broader audience.
Right, I agree. And definitely the technology itself, federalreporting.gov, it's extensible to that broader purpose. It's not currently within my mission scope as defined by the board to extend it to that purpose as we are speaking. But should the board and other, you know, other senior officials decide to move that direction, I assure you the technology can support it.
Talk a little bit about where you see your challenges, whether it's staffing, money, time, whatever they are.
Well, I tell you, you hit it right there, time. Time is probably the largest challenge we face on any given day, and it's funny, one of our guiding principles is this, and I quote, time is our enemy and our only enemy, unquote. Time constraints, they leave little room to design, construct, and maintain our information systems while ensuring data integrity and information quality. But we do have a lightweight governance strategy that we use as a countermeasure to continuously monitor and mitigate this risk.
We are unfortunately almost out of time. Before I let you go, I do want to talk a little bit about your background a little. Where else have you worked in government and industry? You mentioned as we were getting ready that you are a pilot as well. So talk a little bit about your background. How did you come to work at the Recovery Board?
Very interesting. I was invited to join the Recovery Board by our director, Michael Wood, and our chairman, the Honorable Earl Devaney, and then they are both exceptional government officials and mentors. And given the importance of this mission to government accountability and transparency, the decision to participate was quite easy. Now, prior to joining the Recovery Board, I worked for DOI and as the Enterprise Security Officer. I am on loan from the Department of the Interior, but prior to joining government, I was out in industry for about 13 years as just holding various roles ranging from, you know, systems programmer and engineer all the way up to senior executive level out in industry in the financial sector. So overall, my government experience has been phenomenal, but one of the things I try to bring to the table in government is a lot of my commercial world experience, because I believe that there are many great lessons to be learned from using tools and techniques provided by that have long been used by the commercial sector, like adaptive resource management, critical path method, rapid prototyping, et cetera. We bring those tools to bear here, and just great things happen.
And obviously the way you passionately talk about your job, you are very excited and happy to be with the Recovery Board.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just absolutely honored and humbled to work every day with such an amazing dream team.
All right, on that note, we're going to have to say thank you very much. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today was Jim Warren, the Recovery, Accountability, and Transparency Board's Chief Information Officer. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.